as we looked at this morning, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is showing his disciples how their righteousness is to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. The teachers had lowered the standards of the law of Moses so they could believe that they were attaining righteousness, and Jesus was showing the standard of God's law and how they had fallen short. And Jesus here in this context is preaching the repentance and the gospel of the kingdom. And what we see is that there is great depth to the law. And this morning we noticed that that the feelings that a person has show a heart problem when you have hatred and malice and anger. And those things are not acceptable provided you don't murder a person. And so that was Jesus' point there, that the heart was a problem. And so you can't say that it's acceptable to take those kind of actions of hate and malice internally, and that as long as you don't do anything active or abuse somebody, that's okay. So Jesus was teaching here the change was to come from the inside, not just conforming actions. And so in the same way, here in the next few verses, Jesus addresses the heart again with the subject of lust. And so the command, one of the commands given in the law of Moses was not to commit adultery. And that did not mean that, well, you could do whatever you want as long as you don't commit the actual act of sexual relations. And so what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, and this is from the English Standard Version, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And, I understand that this is a subject that sometimes people, may be uncomfortable hearing, but we're not going to observe the Passover and pass right over it as might be tempted to do. We're going to go through each verse here in the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll do that in a not graphic way, of course. But the concept of lust here, I think the English Standard Version does do a good job here with the translation lustful intent, and I think that expresses what's meant here by the Greek word. Because it's not a sin to look at somebody. It's not a sin to notice somebody. It's not a sin to notice that someone is attractive. But I feel pretty confident that most people here probably began to date the person they now have as their spouse because they found that person attractive. Especially the men probably found their wives attractive, and that was one of the reasons that they started dating. That attractiveness may have been different ways. It may have been physical attractiveness, or it may have been other things about that person that attracted you to them. And so these desires and this ability for us to recognize what is attractive to us, God created those desires, and when we find someone attractive or desirable, it's not sin, because those thoughts and those feelings are created within us by God. But what Jesus is describing here is a sin, and what he is talking about is somebody that's looking at somebody with lustful intent. It's purposefully looking at someone with the mind to lust. And I believe that is the point here that Jesus is making in this scripture. And the Greek here indicates a person who has turned his mind to this sort of thing. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 16, the same word is translated longing. And lustful longing or sensual longing is the concept here, that this looking is with the intent to lust. And I think when you look back at David and Bathsheba, which the point has been made many times, that David may not have been able to control what it was that he saw. That when he was walking and saw Bathsheba in the condition that she was in, he may not have been able to avoid that. But he could control how long he looked at her, and obviously that turned into lust. One of the old expressions that you may have heard is that you may not be able to control a bird landing in your hair, but you can keep it from building a nest there. And so that's the idea here, is that David was looking at Bathsheba with lustful intent, And so the law of Moses was very clear about this sort of thing, and it condemned lusting. And Jesus is not giving a new command here. This is not a new command that he is giving, just as what we talked about this morning was not new. And so this is not something that should be shocking to his listeners. The 10th commandment at Mount Sinai gave the same command that we see here. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything else that is your neighbor's. And so here, in this passage, it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Three commandments earlier, he had declared that you shall not commit adultery. And so, really, you're dealing with a couple of different things here. One is talking about the physical act of adultery, and this is talking about intent, that you're coveting something that's not yours. You want something that does not belong to you. And so, committing adultery was really not the entire picture or the end of the matter. You were not allowed to covet your neighbor's wife. And what that means is with lust or desire. And so that's what's going on in your mind while you're looking. So it's not merely looking, but it's looking with that intent. And so what we've seen here in the lesson this morning and this one tonight is that Jesus does not tell us, well, you're allowed to think whatever you want to think. You can think about whatever it is that you want to think. Whatever pops in your mind, you know, that's just fine. As long as you don't act upon those things. No, Jesus doesn't tell you can do that. You can just think about whatever it is that you want to think and desire whatever you want to desire. As long as you do not commit the physical act, then you're okay. That is not what Jesus said. In fact, what Jesus said, if we back up to our passage, verse 28, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So he's talking about there is sin in your heart. You may not have committed the physical act, but you've already committed that act in your mind because of what you're thinking about, of what your intent is, and why it is that you're thinking about these things. And so that's why it's so important that we think about what is in our mind. And so people may sometimes ask when it comes to this subject, well, what's the big deal if you fantasize about something or you think about another person or you look at images online or magazines or in movies or TV? What Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. And so all these things, these acts, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, these things that you're either, you know, performing that or you're saying that or you're doing something to commit those acts, he's saying those things start in the heart. It's the heart that defiles you. Sin begins in the heart. And these, you know, things don't happen by accident, but they begin by allowing the mind to indulge in this kind of thinking. You're allowing your mind to have lustful intent. Paul Earnhardt, which some of you probably know him, I was in school with one of his daughters, and he's a well-known preacher. He said, no married person can do justice to his mate while given over to unrestrained desire for another. I think that's pretty much common sense, isn't it? That you cannot be the kind of husband, you cannot be the kind of wife that you ought to be if you have uncontrolled desire for another. And people make jokes out of this kind of thing if they notice, you know, somebody looking at somebody obviously with lustful intent. Well, it's not crime to window shop. You know, and they'll say things like that, well, and the way that they feel is that, well, as long as I do not commit an act with somebody who's not my spouse, I can look as much as I want to. And that is very, very dangerous thinking to think that is going to be helpful to you. It's not going to be helpful to you to stay pure in your relationship. It's certainly not going to make make your spouse feel like you love him or her if you are so enthralled with someone else and they know that. You know, so think about that and try that with your spouse. Tell him or her that you enjoy lustfully thinking about someone else other than him or her. But there's nothing to worry about because you didn't do anything physically and you're not going to do anything physically. You just like to think about other people. You know, is that going to go over well? No, of course not. That is going to be very detrimental to the relationship. And it really reminds us of why God so often called Israel's unfaithfulness adultery. Were they committing physical adultery? Well, maybe they were, but not in that context. They were not committing adultery, but they were committing adultery in their heart against God. Why? Because they desired something else. Because they desired something else. They desired Baal or they desired other gods. The point is they wanted to be with anything else and anyone else but God at different times. What does that mean? Well, their heart was far from him. And the same can be true in a marriage relationship where there may not be anything physically going on where there is an adultery involved, but the heart can be far from where it ought to be because somebody is involved in what Jesus is describing here as committing adultery in their heart. So we can't have our hearts far away from our spouse. We can't have our hearts desiring someone else and thinking, well, I haven't done anything. No, we've destroyed the marriage. And only a dishonest person would believe that you could desire another person but still be faithful to your spouse. And so this is what Jesus is calling committing adultery in the heart. But as we said this morning, Jesus addresses a problem, then he comes up with a remedy. He gives us a remedy. And what is the remedy? Well, the remedy is to deal very harshly with this sin. In verse 29 and 30, it says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body to go into hell. Well, that's pretty extreme, isn't it? I mean, to cut off your hand or to pluck out an eye. Now, why would somebody do that? Well, you've probably heard stories or seen a movie about a hiker that fell into a ravine where his arm was trapped under a rock, and he was stuck there for days and ended up having to cut off his arm to be free. I can't imagine, you know, being in that situation where that I would have the ability to do that, but if it's coming to the point where it's life or death, that person did that. Cut your arm off to be free and live. And you can make that decision if you know it's a matter of life and death. And that is the logic here that Jesus is giving us. That this is something that is important and that there's a serious need for thinking about this. That lustful intent is a matter of spiritual life or death. And so, it's also interesting here that Jesus has this kind of response for this particular sin. He didn't say this about anger in the last session. He didn't say, cut off your eye or hand if you have anger. But he mentions it specifically here for this sin. And, you know, this lustful intent, it needs an aggressive response. And we certainly see that in our society today, where people are very caught up in lust in many different ways because there's so many different things that are competing for people's attention, and it's very easy for people to get a hold of things that they shouldn't be watching or viewing. On another note, it's also very difficult not to be around people that are dressing in such a way as to make people, you know, lust. And that's a, you know, different subject, but you know, sometimes you can't control what people around you look like or what they wear, but you can certainly control what you watch on TV and what movies you see and what you do on your computer. And so people that do not get close to the fire are not going to get burned. And people that do get close to the fire and think that they're not going to get burned, it's going to be something that makes it very difficult to stay pure and to keep your mind on the things that you ought to. So Jesus' point here is that God's people make extreme decisions to cut off access to this type of sin. If your eye causes you to sin, well, your eye is something that you can lust with. You don't need to close your eyes. And if you have no eyes, you'll no longer be able to look at those sinful things. If your feet causes you to sin, then maybe that's going to keep you from going to the place that you don't need to go if you don't have any feet. Act as if your feet are cut off, then you'll choose no longer to go to that place. If your hands cause you to sin, then no longer do whatever it is your hands are doing. And, this is what the Lord is saying that we need to do to put off the sins of the flesh. It's important. And Jesus here is also telling these that are listening that you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But here, again, he is addressing the heart problem that leads to that sin. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Paul says, put to death what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. So here, listen to what Paul is saying. This is what, Paul is saying, what Jesus is saying, that you need to take extreme measures. Paul says, put these things to death that are earthly in you. And he starts off talking about sexual immorality and impurity, passion, evil desire. All these things are going hand in hand. You've got to fight against those things. And it is difficult today. Turn off the computer, turn off the TV, quit being around people that are going to cause this kind of desire in you. If you're young and you're dating somebody and somebody is causing you to sin or tempting you to sin, you don't need to be around that person. And you need to fight against those things. And if you're falling into sin through these things, you've got to fight it and act decisively and cut off that sin and temptation out of your life. Paul tells Timothy this in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So, we need to fight for purity. I don't think that we hear enough about this today, and that we probably don't do enough lessons on this today. Number one, it makes people uncomfortable when you start talking about this subject. And so people shy away from talking about it. And sometimes it's talked about in such vague ways that, because, we're conscious of the different ages that are in a group listening, and you don't want to, say things that would be inappropriate, and so you end up saying not enough. But when Jesus talks about this here, it's for a very specific reason that people have a problem with this. It was a problem in his day. It was certainly a problem in the days of the Corinthians. It's a problem today and needs to be addressed. Because we need to be pure. We need to have pure hearts. And Jesus gives the reason why we must fight against those lustful thoughts. If you notice what was said this morning about the person that does not have the right heart, what's the future of that person? Well, they're cast into hell. And this is also, talked about here in this context. So this is the second time here in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus has spoken about hell. This morning we talked about the person who insults his brother will be liable to hellfire, and now Jesus is saying that those who do not put to death sinful members of the body will be cast into hell. So what that says to us is that there is a fight for your heart, and Jesus wants you to fight to keep your heart pure, and that these things that evolve and snowball into other problems, they all have a starting place in the heart, and the heart's not what it's supposed to be, then you can expect things down the road to be what they shouldn't be as well. So all these things are stemming from our heart. So it is not enough to say, well, I have never committed the act of adultery, because the ultimate problem is the heart, that we have to protect our hearts. How? By protecting our eyes. And Jesus is telling us that our hearts need to be prepared for this. Adultery is not the only thing that needs to be avoided, but the lustful intent also. And it's also important to state that, as with any sin, that sexual sin is something that is forgivable. If this is something that has been a problem for you, is a problem for you now, has been a problem in the past, you can stop committing those things, and you can seek, you can ask for God's forgiveness for this sin and any sin that separates you from Him. That is why Jesus is teaching this sermon. He wants these people to be pure. He is preaching the gospel of repentance. And the good news of the gospel is that He paid the price on the cross for us to be forgiven of those things. And when we are poor in spirit and we mourn over our sin that we have committed, and we stop doing those things, then God will forgive us of those things. But what we need to remember here is that this is a very serious matter. And we also need to realize that we experience consequences for our sins. And we'll see more about that as we move on in Matthew chapter 5. And we talk more about adultery and the consequences of that. But the point of this section of Scripture here is to cut out the temptations as best you can, to help you not be tempted to sin. Like I said before, there's certain things that you can control and other things that you can't control. You can control what you watch. David could have controlled how long he looked upon Bathsheba. We can control the things that we feed upon, and it does not help our heart, it does not help our mind to feed upon these things that cause lust. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't think that you're so good because you have avoided adultery, but you keep filling your heart with garbage. You need to not do that. And so this is a very interesting section of Scripture as Jesus addresses what was a big problem. It was the problem of the heart. And it can be our issue as well if we don't keep our hearts pure. So I hope this will be an encouragement to you to keep your heart pure and encourage others to do that as well. If we can help you in any way this evening to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we'd like you to come while we sing the song that's been selected.